بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صبيا قد حلق بعض شعر رأسه وترك بعضه، فنهاهم عن ذلك وقال: أحلقوا كله أو اتركوه كله. رواه أبو داود. حضرت عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما نريت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، he saw a child with portions of his head shaven and others not. He prohibited them from doing so and said, shave it all off or leave it all on. Now in Arabic, this word that is used for this type of hairstyle is called qaza. Qaza actually means that cloud that has separated itself from the other clouds. Sometimes you'll see in the sky, one cloud is completely separate from the others. So that cloud that is completely separate is referred to as qaza, and is also referred to now as this type of hairstyle where you'll find a person that shaves part of the head and leaves another portion alone like that, leaves another part of the hair. So this is now also in vogue. You'll see it in many youngsters especially keeping hairstyle like this. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a young person, he saw a child with a portion of his head shaven and the other part not shaven. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited them from doing so and he said, shave it all off or leave it all on. In other words, if you're keeping your hair, keep it all on. If you're shaving it, you shave all. There isn't such a thing as you shave one patch and you leave another patch. But this also applies for adults. That person doesn't cut his hair like this. If he's cutting it, it's equal all round, equal length all round a person cuts his hair. But he doesn't have his hair cut such a way like a wedge haircut, or he shaves part of it and he leaves part of it. This is un-Islamic that a person shaves his hair and cuts his hair like this. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi says that this prohibition applies to shaving a portion of the head and maintaining hair on the rest of the head, or cutting the hair unevenly, leaving one part of shorter and other part longer. It will only be permissible in a case where a person medically needs to do it. Sometimes a person, he may need stitches or he may need some attention to one part of the head. Now it is permissible just to shave that part so that can be attended to, that stitches, whatever can be attended to, or some type of therapy or treatment needs to be made on one part of the head, then to shave that one part is permissible. But if it's not for any medical reason, then a person should cut his hair all at one length. It should not be made two lengths, or one part should not be shaven and the other part be left. So this is what we learn from this hadith mentioned by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna al-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amhala ala Ja'far thalathan thumma atahum faqal la tabku ala akhi ba'd al-yum thumma qala ud'u li bani akhi faji'a bina ka'annana afrukhun فقال ادعوا لي الحلاق فأمره فحلق رؤوسنا. رواه أبو داود. حضرت عبد الله بن جعفر رضي الله تعالى عنهما narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed the family of Ja'far رضي الله تعالى عنهما 3 days. Ja'far رضي الله تعالى عنه 3 days to mourn over his death. He then came to them and said, do not cry over my brother Ja'far after today. He then said, call my brother's children to me. We were brought and it was as if we were chicks. In other words, they were so young, it was as if they were small chicks. He said, call a barber for me. He then instructed him to shave our heads. Just to understand the background of this, Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the brother of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, when the Sahaba were in Makkah Sharif, at that time he made hijrat with a few other Sahaba also. They went to Habsha, they went to Abyssinia. So they made that first hijrat and they went to Abyssinia. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba now were in Madinah Sharif, that's when he had returned from Abyssinia. And it was at the time when the Khaybar had been conquered, you know, the Battle of Khaybar, a vast territory and vast land had been conquered. It was a great, great victory for the Muslims over the Jews at that time. So when Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu had returned, It was just at that time when Khaybar had been conquered. And now when he came and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen him, he met him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met him. He made muhanaqa with him. He kissed him on his forehead. And he said, I don't know if I'm happier with the coming of Ja'far radiallahu anhu or with the conquest of Khaybar. In other words, I'm so excited to see my cousin Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu anhu. I don't know whether I'm more happy with his coming or with the conquest of Khaybar. In other words, so much of happiness he experienced by meeting Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an. But shortly thereafter, there was the battle of Muta, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed first Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala an as the Amir. And he said, if he is martyred, then Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an will become the Amir. And if he is martyred, then Hazrat Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala an will be the Amir. And it so happened that Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu had been martyred. Then Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu anhu became the Amir. And then he was also martyred in this battle of Muta. Now look at the love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his cousin, number one. After so long he had come back to Madinah Sharif. But when there was the call for deen, when there was a call for the effort going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he put his own family and those that were close to him. Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu was also very, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he put those that were close with him first. So now he had become shaheed, and when he had become shaheed in the battle of Muta, the message now had come to Madinah Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also received that message via wahi. Now the sahaba were gathered in the masjid, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave them the full rundown of what happened in the battle of Muta. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not present there, but he was given via wahi the full rundown of what had happened, and he explained to sahaba that this is exactly what had happened in the battle of Muta. So thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went and he visited the family of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he had three sons. One was Abdullah, the other was Muhammad, and the third was Auf. But Abdullah, the one who was narrating this hadith, he was the one that resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. He had a very, very striking resemblance with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this was the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would go and he would take care of those children whose parents had gone out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would see to their needs over and above all the other needs of the other people that he would see. He'd make it a point to go and see. So this is what this hadith is explaining, that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu narrates that when his father had passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had allowed the family 3 days to mourn over his death. Here also we learn something, that the mourning period for a person that has passed away, the mourning period is 3 days. In other words, after 3 days, a person happens to cry instinctively, naturally, there's no harm, but the period of mourning, crying, is actually 3 days. And when a person is made to cry غير اختياري, without his volition, then there is no harm. But more than that, a person shouldn't make it a point now to mourn. A person shouldn't make himself intentionally sad. So it is 3 days. And where a woman has lost her husband, then it is 4 months and 10 days. So this is the mourning period for a woman that has husband has passed away. So anyway, moving on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, do not cry over my brother after today, because now it was the third day. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call my brother's children to me. We were brought as though we were chicks, young, and their hair also was long. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, call a barber. He then instructed him to shave our heads. The next masala we learn from here is, if there is a need to shave the head completely, it is permissible to shave the head. This is what Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi wants to show us here, that it is permissible to shave the head. Now why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked to shave the heads of these children was because the mother was in mourning. She was sad. There is no time now to take care of the hair of the children, so now it makes it easier. So ulama also explained that where a person is studying, where a person is a student of deen, where a person is busy and is engaged in some effort and work of deen, that he doesn't have time to take care of the hair properly, then it is permissible also for him to shave that hair completely, so excess time doesn't be taken to worry about maintaining the hair. Because if a person has hair, it is necessary for him to maintain it. Islam encourages neatness. Islam encourages a person to be tidy, not that he just has hair and he keeps it untidy. The better thing to do in that case, if he doesn't have time to maintain his hair, he shave it all off. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instructed that the hair of these children be shaved off. One last hadith to finish off this chapter. On Ali radiallahu anhu qal, naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an tahliq al-mar'atu ra'saha. Hazrat Ali radiallahu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited a woman from shaving her head. Now we just did now where a person doesn't have time to shave, to look after that hair and take care and maintain. Now it is permissible for him, it is permitted for a person to shave his hair. Or a person may be feeling hot, a person is not used to keeping hair, there is no harm if he takes out all his hair. And the thought may come that a woman also can have this excuse, it is so hard for me to maintain the hair and keep the hair, so she can also shave her hair. And that's why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this hadith, that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited a woman from shaving her head, to show that a woman is not allowed to do this. This is not allowed for a woman. Yes, if there's some medical reason and there's some genuine reason where she has to remove her hair, now then is a different situation. But under normal circumstances, a woman is not allowed to shave her head. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, bringing the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he had taken care of those children, how he had went and visited the family, how he made it a point of even taking care of the hair of the children. It shows how much of love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for every sahaba, for every sahabi, how much of love he had for his companions. That here they lost their father, he made it a point of getting a barber to come and take care even of the hair of the children. This was the beauty and the love and the generosity in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Pak also give us these qualities. As we know, today is Friday, we should try and come. We should try and come early for the Jummah Salah. Increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make it a point of reading Surah Kahf and take advantage of the time before Maghrib Salah in making dua. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.